Hi everyone. My name is Donna and I am an alcoholic, and I'm always so honored to be asked to carry a message, and equally humbled when I'm asked to come back for 12 consecutive weeks. I didn't know that it was more to no longer drinking. My sobriety date is August 5th, 2000. That's the only sobriety date that I have. I didn't want to be an alcoholic. I spent a lot of years trying to convince you that I didn't have a problem because my entire life was focused on what you thought about me. My dad gambled, my dad drank, my mom was a very angry wife, a very angry mother. So there was a lot of selfishness and self-centeredness in my home. I didn't look at it as selfishness back then, but as a result of going through the work, and when I say the work, the 12 steps, I'm able to see that most human beings, when they're not relying on the power within, the best that we can do is show up selfishly and self-centeredly. But I didn't know that. I just couldn't understand why my mom was so angry. And so I thought that there was something wrong with me. I grew up very afraid because I never knew when she was going to yell. But that doesn't make me an alcoholic. It just makes me realize that I didn't grow up with an exhibition of true love between one human being and another. But it's interesting, not experiencing love, it's what I've always craved. So how is it that I wanted something that I didn't fully feel that I fully got? And so I get to see today, as a result of the work that we do here, that we get connected to love. And perhaps really all that we're looking for is how we were born out of love. So I'm here to talk about step one. I'm powerless over alcohol, and it doesn't say, and my life is unmanageable. There's this M dash. And the M dash is the conclusion, the emphasis. The truth is that I'm an alcoholic. And what is produced is my unmanageability. But I realized that my life was unmanageable before the alcohol, but I thought the alcohol was going to produce a difference, was going to give me what I needed to be okay. And in the beginning, it did. But really, what it had me do was run from my feelings, suppress my feelings, not think about my feelings. And then the unmanageability started to increase and increase because, see, I don't understand that I don't have any power over alcohol. The first time I drank, I was, I think, 14. And the first time I drank, I blacked out. But I don't know that there's anything unusual about that. And through the course of my life, there were other substances that I also added. Because of my need to control and I didn't want to black out, there was another substance that did quite bad. It enabled me to drink more. And so I go through my life, and as I'm drinking, I'm hanging out with other people that drink like me. So this unmanageability that's happening within me and around me. Because as my drinking progressed, I'm not paying my rent on time. I'm going to work with no sleep because I needed to prove to you that I can get to work. So the quality of the work I was producing was getting really shaky. There were many times that I had to stop at the drugstore and get a box of no-dos so that I could stay awake. And I would literally have to say the alphabet out loud because my mind was so exhausted because I had been up for so many days that I would have to say the alphabet out loud. So it was like I can hear myself say the alphabet so my hand or my finger would hit the right key on the typewriter. Insane. But I also was very manipulative and very sneaky because I always knew that I was going to do everything in my power not to stay at that job for that 8-hour day. And I was going to cough. I was going to do something that made me look real sick so you can send me home. And I was so sneaky and manipulative that I knew the right people to cough in front of, the people that were decision makers. I wasn't going to waste it on somebody that was just going to be sympathetic. Who needs that? I had a lot of opportunities present themselves to me, but see, because of the obsession over alcohol and how I felt about myself, success was going to always elude me because I would start off very committed, but I would start obsessing over alcohol, and I never knew when I would go on a binge, and then I wouldn't show up, and I'd have to start lying. And I needed to, I'm glad that I drank because on my own, I didn't feel like I was good enough. So I was able to pretend that I was worthy when I drank because I didn't really care about what you thought, but also I didn't care about the things I was saying. So I felt that it gave me license to speak whatever's on my mind. And if you brought it to my attention, I would look at you and say, well, this is just who I am. I became very flippant. So as life goes on, and I'm a New York City girl, so I grew up in a city where there was, oh my God, I loved after hours. What? I loved them. It was just something about living life on the edge. I was able to live on the edge because I realized that I had the kind of personality and I had enough intelligence that I didn't have to really apply myself. And so once I knew that I can get by with doing just a little, that's all I did, just a little. And so more opportunities are presenting themselves, and all of a sudden, oh my goodness, like I really want to start doing the right thing. And I realize that, oh my goodness, I lost the power to choose whether I would drink or not. That's when it became scary. Because there was times that I didn't want to drink. And I drank. I like to use the story in the Big Book when Bill, remember. And for those of you that are new, please, the thing that I love about this meeting is that it's Big Book based. And they say the set aside prayer. So set aside everything you think you know, because you're going to be doing that for the rest of your life if you join us on this path. See, I've learned how to be okay and not know. Oh my God, was that a little difficult at first? But can I be okay just right here, right now? And every next moment is an extension of the previous now. So this is a journey you guys embarked on. You may not know it. You may just think, oh my God, I'm so glad I'm not drinking for 20 days and 30 days and 40 days. But guess what? There's more to be revealed, and there's a lot more freedom that we get to experience. And that perhaps maybe all of the pain, misery, and despair that we experienced because of our drinking was needed for us to be willing to go to any length to be free. See, I had to live my life like I was dying for me to be willing enough. So I tried to commit suicide 10 years prior to August 5th, 2000. That's the crazy thing. And even then, I didn't realize that I had a problem over alcohol. It's like, you know what I think it is? My mind still had some things for me to try. I hadn't done a geographic move yet. And I hadn't tried this yet. I had to, August 5th, 2000, trust and believe. I felt like I was so exhausted. There was nothing left to try. I was walking down the block with my head bowed. This is, I felt like my hands were up and my head was bowed. Not everyone has this experience. That's why all messengers are needed to share in meetings. But for those of you that have had an experience that you knew that something happened in and through you, in spite of you, and your mind is doing what my mind did to me, it downplayed it. My mind never let me see that a miracle had taken place on August 5th, 2000. It made it seem like it was just any old day. So for those of you that knew that something powerful happened, but you don't know quite what it is, well, perhaps this story you can connect with. It says in the spiritual experience that sometimes the experience is profound and other times it's educational. But check this out. They don't mention a third, that there is no experience to have. I think when we come to these meetings, we are purveyors of hope. I think every experience that we have is not just for us, but it's to share. I think that's how God uses us. And for those of you that have a little uncomfortability with the word God, I've been here too long to apologize for using it. If it makes you uncomfortable, perhaps that's a good thing because there's going to be a whole lot of things on this path that's going to make you uncomfortable. But set aside what you think you know because it's interesting that what the freedom that's promised us, it doesn't take much for your thinking mind to put the brakes on and tell you things like, oh, this thing is so hard. I don't know if I can do this. It doesn't take much. It says, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path, but we loiter. And it'll take one weak argument like, oh, I don't know if I can, if I believe what these people believe. And that will override the promise of real true freedom, the thing that you've always wanted. See, the thing that's interesting is when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous and I heard people share, I knew that they had that it. Are you willing to go to any length to get it? I didn't know exactly what it was. But I knew that these people had something, guess what, that I always wanted. See, I had been sitting with some people in a environment. And I said, you know, the only thing I have not tried was God. But I didn't know how to get to God. This is after 13 years of Catholic school, including kindergarten. Going to church seemed foreign. Picking up the Bible seemed just as far, so I didn't do anything. But see, what needed to happen, I had to get to a place that I was so exhausted that I stopped trying to stop. That walk home, I had 50 cents in my pocket. Wasn't the first time I had 50 cents in my pocket. And if it was up to me, I would have surrendered on August 4th. August 5th happened to me. This is my experience. As the pain was getting greater and greater, and the quicksand was stretching around. Trust and believe, it had been stretching around for a while. That's all I saw, all in all directions, was destruction. I didn't lose things because of my drinking. I gave things away. I purposely was quitting jobs. And guess this is silly. I'm quitting the job before they fired me because I needed to stay a step ahead, or they're not gonna fire me. I'll quit first. Who does that with no job? Not paying the rent because I needed money to make sure that I can get high because now my life is so unmanageable that I don't want to think. So every situation, every circumstance that I was in, the solution was let me escape it. And so August 5th, I felt that enough next times because I kept. See, the thing that's so crazy is I don't even see that I'm powerless because my mind keeps having me get in the ring. Thank God that Bill uses these terminologies like we're never going to beat the game. And I'm getting in the ring with no gloves, don't know how to box, and I'm getting in the ring with a beast, thinking that I'm going to beat. I keep getting KO'd every time. I'm isolating because now people are looking at me like I'm crazy. Remember, Bill said a lunacy commission should be in order. And at first, he says perhaps they were right. Well, at the end, further on in his story, he agrees with him. And that's what was happening to me. It's like there's got to be something wrong with me. But see, the thing is, when people were asking me why I was drinking the way I was drinking, I honestly didn't know what to tell them. The best that I can do is say, you just don't understand. You just don't understand. I would start crying. I had no idea that I was doing something that I honestly didn't want to do. So this is what I was going to share. And I don't know where I go when I'm in these meetings because I am so convinced that my oneness with God is so solid that I'm just here with you guys. Remember in Bill's story when he said he went to go to the cafe to make a phone call? Let's walk him. Let's walk with Bill. He walks in. Let's just say the telephone is over here. Well, he doesn't go to the right. He goes to the bar. Okay. He has to wait. Let's say he has to wait for a seat. Gets a seat. Now he's got to wait for the bartender to see him, so he's waving and getting attention. He orders a drink, got to wait for the drink, right? Because it's got to be made. The drink is put in front of him. He drinks the drink. He doesn't recognize that he's drinking after the third and fourth, and he goes, "How did I get started again?" The mental fog settles down, and I can't see the truth. I'm relying on self-will, but self-will fails me when I need it the most. And I'm convinced, damn it, that this time is going to be different. This time is going to be different. So August 5th, 2000, guess what? I was done. I was surrendered. And so I truly believe that while the quicksand is rising, and we've all seen movies when, quicksand, you can't get yourself out of quicksand. And that quicksand is rising, and that's all I see, and I can't do nothing about it. And it wasn't until the quicksand got right up underneath my nose that I knew that I had to stop trying. There was nothing left. And I believe that what was happening within me was my spirit was getting stronger and stronger. Because I don't believe that alcohol has more power over spirit and more power over God. And I think that my spirit, as my life was getting darker and darker, and I was living life like I was dying, there was something that was growing, that was alive, that had more power over my mind. That I was surrendered. And I knew that something had happened and I never had to drink again. Now, I was living at home with my mom. I was 44 years old. I didn't have a key to get into the house. That's where my life had gotten me. I was also so selfish and self-centered. I never really thought what my mom was going through when she didn't know where I was for 3 and 4 and 5 days. I only worried about what she was going to say. So all I knew in my life is fear. Fear as a kid, as a teenager. I always hung out with a group of people because I could never stand on my own. If I was going to meet you someplace, I would make sure that you got there first so that I would have somebody to walk up to. Couldn't see how selfish that is because I'm never on time. Couldn't see what I couldn't see. And so when my mom opened up the door this time, I told her I was done, and I had never said I was done. And it was the first time I didn't need help. See, I had gone to a treatment facility and I knew all the snappy one-liners. See, I wasn't doing another substance, but I was still drinking. And it's crazy because I believe that my mind hid the truth about alcohol from me. I was willing to give up everything else. Even when I went to a detox, they asked me how much did you drink. I told them, "Oh, I don't drink a lot." I don't see the truth then. See, in when we have insight, we can look back in hindsight, and now it starts making sense. So I have no ID. I must have either left it in an app, dropped it in an after hours, dropped it in a cab. Who knows? This is where I am in this life. And I knew to look in the phone book for a detox. How did I know? That was intuition. Because on my own, I don't believe I would have known to look for a detox. I don't know. I don't believe I would have known. I believe it was intuition. I was being led. And I had to wait 3 days until they had a bed ready, and the thought of a drink had never occurred. And I don't really see how powerful that is. I'm telling you, my mind has never let me see the truth. I see that today. That's why when we get to step 10, we're able to watch, but we can watch more effectively in step 10 because we have been awakened to what we couldn't see. And so I had to get on the subway and get on the bus and go to this detox. And I didn't stop at the liquor store to get a bottle, which is something that I couldn't do anything sober. Somebody asked me to go to an NA, Narcotics Anonymous dance. Do you know I went to a bar to have a drink before going to the NA dance and didn't get into the NA dance because I craved alcohol. Once it's in my body, all bets are off and I'm going to drink. But I didn't stop at the liquor store. I had to get on the subway. And I told you I knew pretty much every after hours below 59th Street and didn't get off the train and go to an after hours. I went straight there. And I can't see. How am I able to do this? How am I able to do the most frightening thing? Seek help sober. See, I didn't know the obsession had been lifted. And so I went to a detox and I couldn't hear the speakers. I was mocus in New York City. On the East Coast, they use this term mocus, and I didn't know, I never knew what it meant, but I you know what it's a Polish slang for squirrely. You know, when you go through the big book line by line and you get accustomed to looking up words. You have enough humility that you start looking up words in other books. See, I always had too much pride to let myself think. It's crazy. My mind would never let me admit that I don't know a word and I should go look it up. So it had me skim a lot. And I realized that all it was doing was keeping me from growing. The same thing with lying. It was so amazing. If you ask me a question like, "Oh, Donna, you went there. Don't add the word right. You went there, right?" As soon as I hear the word right, I'm going to say, "Oh, But guess what? I stop myself from growing
Two
because I'm
minutes,
letting you
Donna.
know that I've done something and I can never be inquisitive. See, today I can admit when I don't know so I can learn from you all because I realize that we're all connected. We're not separated, but I needed for you to be impressed with me, for you to, oh my God, more to be revealed in the next 11 weeks. And so when I went to a meeting, I walked in and I felt the love. And I heard a woman share what she was like, what happened, and what she's like now, and what she was like, I still was like. And she came up to me and asked me, "Was I willing to go to any length never to drink again?" I had been hearing, "Just don't drink for today." And the way I interpreted that for the rest of my life, I have to think about not drinking. And so I said yes. And I was introduced to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in my first year, introduced to the set aside prayer. And that's why, like 25 years later, to see so many meetings use the set aside prayer, oh my God, just makes my heart sing. So there you have my step one. Am I willing to concede to my innermost self that I'm an alcoholic? Concede means to admit reluctantly after initially denying it for so long. And I have to also concede that I'm licked. If you don't know you're an alcoholic, please go through the big book because you may be a heavy drinker. Find Out Your Truth. When I came through the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I felt that I was finally giving myself permission to discover what was wrong with me. I want to thank you for allowing me to be here this week, and I'll see you next Friday.